It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Adam couldn't make it in this morning, but he did manage to find an operable telephone. And that's a pretty good connection from what I've seen so far. I also have it on good authority, my own, that our internet connection today, unlike last week, is loud and crystal clear. So there's absolutely no excuse for not listening to the entire show today. That's my opinion. Anyway, welcome back.
Been a little spotty lately, so that's good news.
Yeah, it has. Here and there, it is good news. Anyway, welcome back to all the regulars. We're glad you're always with us because, you know, why would we get up and do this otherwise? And if you're new to the show, either found it by accident or somebody told you about it, try to listen to the whole thing. I promise you there'll be some interesting things happening here because there are a lot of interesting things happening out there. Some good, some bad, and probably some indifferent, but most of them are good or bad. We'll get into a lot of that today. And I promised Angela on her way out today that in the first segment, I'm going to surprise her. And I meant it. But I'm going to surprise everybody at the same time. I'm not just picking her out, singling her out, because I know something that I'll bet most people don't know. But I'll choose the time and nature of one to reveal that, but it will be in the first segment. All right, you heard from Angela, if you tuned in a little bit before, that things were not so good on the street this week, which seems to be something of a pattern. And rather than me discussing the whys and wherefores, take it away, Adam.
It was very fortuitous. I sat down at my desk this morning to prepare for this show, and I got an alert from the Wall Street Journal saying that gas prices had officially reached $5 per gallon nationally.
Congratulations, America!
It's a record.
Yep.
It's record-breaking, and that's the first time that's ever happened. So all this pain that we're feeling in the market goes right back to that. That's where it all starts.
Adam, you're old enough. You're old enough to remember the last time we had the big spike, 08 maybe, somewhere right in that range, I think.
I'm old enough to remember that.
Yeah, but what we said back then and what happened back then were very much true. And what we said back in that era was, just wait. When the pump price hits $4 across the country, people are going to not take it anymore. I said the same thing this time, only I factored in some inflation. This time I said $5. Guess what happened today, right? Now let's see what the people do.
Yeah, there's going to be major backlash to this, and it'll be in a lot of different forms. It'll be at the ballot box. It'll be in consumer decision-making. It'll be potentially in the economy. In the form of a recession. I mean, it's out of control. It's completely fixable. And then the president has the nerve to go on TV yesterday and blame the oil companies, as he has been doing all along. It is the most intellectually weak argument, and he honestly must think we are all a bunch of morons to believe the complete moronic explanations that he gave yesterday for why gas is high, that all of a sudden Exxon has turned into has figured out, oh, all we need to do is raise the price and we can make more money.
Yeah.
And it just happened. It just came to them about 18 months ago. Holy cow. Wow. I mean,
I got to admit, Adam, I admit it. I called them and told them.
Oh, okay. That's how they figured it out?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I hope you didn't then also buy their stock, because that's probably insider trading. So,
don't worry, I didn't.
Unbelievable.
Well, but Adam, it's not Putin's price hike. Now it's Putin's tax.
That's right.
The little bitty difference this week, all of a sudden, the Putin tax.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's, literally blamed everything else and took no culpability for it. I mean, what kind of leadership is that? It's just pathetic, and it's really showing up in the polls. You're seeing it in the, if you want something interesting, Google the Rasmussen daily tracking poll and take a look at that. You'll see how far underwater he is. He, I mean, honestly makes Trump's numbers look fantastic at this point in their presidencies. And it's unbelievable. It's almost like they don't want to get elected again in November. I mean, it's looking more and more like an absolute bloodbath between now and then. I don't see any way that they can salvage this. It makes no sense. And I guess that's the end of my rant, but that's the entire market is driven by gas prices right now. And that is, you're seeing it everywhere. You're seeing it in consumer sentiment. You're seeing it in mortgages. You're seeing it. It's everywhere. I have probably never been as negative on the short-term outlook as I am today. And guess why that is? Gas prices.
Yep.
So
agreed.
Yeah. Okay. So enough about that. It wasn't just stock climbing this week. Bonds went down. Interest rates went up. That was about the only thing that went up.
You're crackling. You're crackling a little bit. You shift position.
Sure. Is that any better?
Start again, and I'll let you know.
Okay. The aggregate bond market.
No, not better.
ETF.
Not better.
ETF was up or down 1.5%. The commodities rose a little bit, but not much. There just wasn't anywhere to hide. Every sector in the S&P 500 was down. It was just brutal. And all of that, and going into Tuesday, we actually had a pretty nice week going. And then Thursday was down 1%. Wednesday was down 1%. Thursday, and then right at the close, just sold off in anticipation of that.
Yep.
Report the CPI report, and then it was just an absolute bloodbath that opened because
Your connection is not improving. As soon as we go to the break, why don't you hang up and call in again, and let's just see if we can get a little better connection. And meanwhile, this is the perfect moment to surprise everyone. Where is the Dow Jones Industrial Average today relative to 3 weeks ago today? Want to take a shot?
I think it's probably higher.
Ah, guess what? It's 131 points higher than it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, we had a really nice week 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Everything was up about 5%, so I'm not surprised by that.
The NASDAQ, however, was 14.6 points lower. But here's the biggie. The S&P 500 was even 3 weeks ago. All right. I lied a little bit. 0.07 points lower. So the S&P and the Dow are both up compared to 3 weeks ago. But no matter how awful this week felt, and it felt awful, all we did was retrace again. And that's what's been going on over and over and over in this market over the, well, for this year, basically. We are in a range trading, very volatile period of time, and I don't know what it's going to take to get out of it, but we have not been killed just these last few days. All right, Adam, if you want to call in again, we'll take a little break right now and be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee, hopefully
oh,
with
that's
better
nice.
Reception.
Yeah, that's loud and clear. 4x4.
Good.
All right, we do have a trivia question brought to you, as always, by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. And you can call Ken at 904-636-7888. What do we got to give out this week, Adam? You know?
We have a gift card. I believe it is to Publix, I think. I will have to double-check on that, though.
Okay, but that's always a good one, especially these days. Wow.
Yeah.
This food thing is getting crazy. And speaking of which, I'm sure there's more to say about inflation in general and a couple other topics. But first, I was going to do a trivia question about all the people and all the industries that Biden has blamed so that he wouldn't have to point the finger at himself. But it's rising so fast that I figured if I wrote it down this morning and then came in here, by the time I got here, the list would be even longer, so it wouldn't be fair. So I switched over and did a different one. What has been the drop in consumer sentiment over the last 1 year on a percentage basis? That means 0 to 100%. That's the range. But what percentage has sentiment dropped in exactly 1 year? All right, carry on. More to say about the mess we're all in.
Well, I'm glad you got that out because I was going to talk about consumer sentiment. I will mention that the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Report had a sort of a initial number this week. It's not the final one, but it showed the worst reading in the history of the report going back to 1978.
Yep.
Give you one guess why.
Because it hasn't been this bad since 1978.
That too. Just about every time this report has plummeted like it has recently, it has been during a recession, not before a recession, but during. So kind of leads me to believe that that second quarter GDP number might come in negative, which would mean that we're in a recession.
Yeah, we've been speculating
been
on
for
this.
A while.
Yeah, we've been speculating on this since the first quarter GDP came in negative. So
yeah, it's pretty.
We'll see.
I'm not calling it, but I'm saying I wouldn't be surprised if it happened.
Yeah. That I put that in my notes exactly the same way, that it wouldn't shock me at all, although the powers that be who never get anything right, you know those guys, don't you?
Yeah, they're called they.
Yeah, they, yes.
The they people.
Yeah, the ones who are never right and never in doubt either. They absolutely know everything. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go into inflation a little bit. We had a little shock this week. Oh, by shock, I meant they had a shock. We did not have a shock.
Well, I'll be honest. I was a little surprised. I thought that the CPI report that was released Friday morning might show a slight decrease in inflation. And instead, what we saw was the highest number in 41 years. It was an increase of a full percent from last month. And then if you annualize that number, it's over 13%. That's insane.
Well, I think everybody out there knows that we are in an inflationary period that's over 13%.
Yeah.
Find me a couple things where it isn't. It's ridiculous.
Just from last month, everything went up 1%. That's a shocking number.
That is a big number.
It really is. The core CPI, which strips out food and energy, it grew by 0.6%, but both of those numbers were higher than forecast by a little bit. Not by a huge margin, but a little bit, and the market did not like that. A lot of thinking that the Fed might do a 0.75-point rate hike next week. I don't know that they're going to change their strategy right now based on one report, but I mean, it definitely cemented at least two more, if not three more, 50-point hikes
we
in
have
the coming
on the,
month.
We have on the line. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great show, as always.
Thanks so much. What's up?
One real quick thought, and then I was going to take a shot at the trivia question.
Good.
I'm always confused by people who get excited over the fact that the price of their house is going up. It doesn't seem like a win-win situation. I mean, if you sell it, you're going to have to buy another one that also went up at the same rate.
Yeah, so, I've spent decades asking the old question, would you rather sell high and buy high, or would you rather sell low and buy low? And I know the answer to that.
Right. And the way I look at it, every time my house goes up in value, it just means my real estate taxes are going to be higher.
Save our homes. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what am I getting all excited about? You know, it's
exactly.
Crazy. So, but
it's a great point, Ron. I think that people don't think it through. All they see is their net worth climbing on paper, and it sounds like such a great deal. Oh, I made a, you know, a couple hundred thousand in my house. I'm a lot wealthier than I was.
Well, then what's the reaction? Really, yeah, what's the reaction to a lot of people? They go out and put a HELOC on it, take the money out, buy something. And where did you actually get there? Yes, you have another asset, but you also have another liability.
And then another 2008 hits, and prices of houses fall, and now they're up the creek.
That's exactly right. And we've seen it. We've seen it in our adult history. But, you know, human nature is human nature, too. And it, you know, it was shown back. You go back, I assume, to the late 70s, early 80s. It was shown in time after time in studies that people would rather make 14% interest on their money in an 18% inflationary environment than to make 2% of the money in a 1% environment. So they would rather get more dollars and lose money than to receive less dollars and make money. Over and over and over. It's like, why do you use the Dow instead of the S&P? Well, the numbers are big and impressive, right? Same thing. It's just human nature.
Yep. Ron, did you want to take a shot at our trivia?
We seem to have lost the connection.
Yeah, I think we lost him. Well, call back if you want to take a guess.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
You're there again.
Okay. Right. I was going to use the number from the late, great Jackie Robinson, number 42.
Well,
42%.
You are the winner because of the bracket. It's 41%, which means, as we always do, we'll take plus or minus one. That makes 42. That makes you a winner. How about that?
Wonderful.
Well,
all right.
We'll put you on hold. We'll get your info, and well done.
Maybe my house will go up in value this week, too.
It might. Just do that. that, and you can buy all those expensive groceries.
Now we're talking. Thank you so much, guys. Great show, as always.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, when I called last week, I thought I sound like a big downer on the way that we're changing our behavior with this inflationary gas prices and etc. I guess not. On Saturday mornings, I listen to the outdoor show from 7 to 10, and then they're off at 10, and I switch over to you guys. Guess what the outdoor show talked about today?
Inflation?
Gas prices?
Absolutely. They talked about just about every commodity and what it is up, including eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Eggs are up 33%.
But only if you can get them.
Hmm?
You can get them.
Yeah, that's true. But they also talked about what the farmers are doing. Most of the crops require nitrogen,
mm-hmm.
and we can't get nitrogen. And and it's so expensive when you do. The other thing is the farmers are using off-road diesel, and that has shot up. It's over $5 a gallon, too.
Wow.
So almost it's approaching $6. And if they haven't bought in ahead of time with a contract for a price today for tomorrow's diesel fuel, they're in trouble. So it was interesting because the talk is spreading on, you know, in different venues. So it's interesting. I think you're right on, and we have so much of this that we could control, and nothing is happening. I really wonder what people are thinking that are in power right now. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't know that thinking has anything to do with it.
Because there's no thought involved.
just an observation.
Either that or well things thought out or pre-baked terms of the midterms.
This is not an accident, though. I mean, there's no way that they're just not thinking about it and letting it happen. This is planned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the green mafia
that's trying
to make us all join them, and we're not going willingly. That's for sure.
And this is not helping their cause, by the way.
No.
I mean, I don't see how this is going to accomplish getting anyone on board.
Yep, I don't either. Yep. It's ridiculous. Yep. All right, we
guys,
appreciate the call. Back to the fields, right? Take care. Adam, quick little, did you see who's splitting stock?
Tesla. Or
yeah, Tesla. That's the one.
Okay.
3-for-1, which would put the price around 232, which is pretty solidly in the middle of the Dow Jones Industrial Average stock price. Just saying, you think he's got his eye on something? I'm not sure.
Yep.
But I, you know, that would be pretty prestigious for him to slip Tesla into the Dow. You know, this guy's always ahead of everybody else, including us. So I read and say, okay, what's he thinking? And it's really kind of hard to say. But watch for it. Anyway, we've got to take another quick break. We'll be back very shortly. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
Yeah, I wanted to make one more comment about Bidenomics before we ditch this very distasteful topic. We learned this week something I did not know. But apparently the core rate of inflation is coming down. And the proof is in the numbers. The last 3 months, it has gone up 0.3, 0.6, and 0.6. So you can clearly see the downtrend in the core rate of inflation, right?
You did say that on Friday, too. It's, oh, my gosh. It's just unbelievable. It really is.
And we have to operate our financial advising business in this climate. It isn't getting easier, people. Trust me. All right. You got anything else you want to say about the market?
No, I'm done with the market.
Good.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, good. All right. You know all the commercials. Everybody's heard them. Most people have read them. Lifetime income, tax-free. And I think a lot of you, if you're regular listeners to the show, understand exactly what that is. Those are called fully funded life insurance products. Or scams, depending on how you look at it. And I got a recent one. And this one, one of the biggest ones, is called Bank on Yourself. And I'm not picking on them. I bring them up because they're one of many, but they publish enough stuff that when I see something, I sometimes get the urge to say something. And I got one recently. This is very interesting. One of the most common questions we get here at that site is, can I roll funds over from my 401k or 403b or TSA to the Bank on Yourself safe wealth building strategy? What are the tax consequences? So, of course, I've gone to explain, of course you can do that. You can roll it over directly, except that it's not technically a rollover, because really what you do is you drain your account and then you invest in a fully funded life insurance product. So there's no getting around paying income taxes. And now this, I'm quoting again here. There's no getting around paying income taxes on money you withdraw from a tax-deferred plan like a 401k, IRA, 403b, or TSA. But there are ways to potentially reduce your lifetime tax bite as well as avoid paying the 10% withdrawal penalty. The specifics of how this is done depend on whether or not you've turned age 59 and a half yet. If you're 59 and a half or older, you can simply withdraw funds from your tax-deferred plan, pay ordinary income taxes on the amount you withdraw, and use the money to fund a Bank on Yourself type high cash value, dividend-paying whole life policy. Did you hear all that? Pay taxes on your entire 401k or 403b. Now, who can picture in their mind a chart of compounding? I think almost everybody can. You've seen the power of compound interest, compound earnings. And it starts out really low on the horizontal axis, and it starts to rise very slowly in the first 5, 10, 15 years, and then it ticks up a little bit, 15, 20. By 25 years, it's really starting to grow. So these people think, let's say, I'll make up some numbers, maybe you got $500,000 in your account. So you're gonna dump that out first into your taxable account, and that is going to be taxed now. So you're going to add $500,000 to your current income, which is going to put you in a tax bracket that is way, way above what you're paying now in almost all cases. And that money is going to be depleted by, let's say, 35%. Just to shoot out a number, it might be more than that. So now what you're investing, according to their suggestion here, is that you're investing maybe 65% of your money, and now the compounding starts in the early years. And the early year compounding is not going to be like the later year compounding, which is already going on in your tax-sheltered account. So first off, you're going to pay whopping taxes this year. Second, your estimated taxes are probably going to go through the roof for the next year, which requires even more cash. And your account balance is down. And we haven't even worried yet if the investments in this life insurance policy will live up to their, quote, expectations or illustrations. Because most of them are figuring between about 6% and 9%. And tax-free, of course, because it's in this environment. But will it happen? When you're in a product that is dependent on your life, then when the annual fee comes around, there's going to be a portion of that that's called mortality cost. Mortality cost is, in two simple words, life insurance. Well, you know how life insurance works if you've been around the business at all. Every year you get older, your life insurance cost goes up. So let's say you're 59 and a half or 60 or 60 whatever, and you're going to pay X amount this year for your mortality cost. Well, that's going to continue to go up. We had one of these not terribly long ago where the insurance alone every month was $29,000. And it was a lot of money. It was a $1 million policy. But we cut that down to $240 from $29,000. Now, I don't care what anybody says. You got a better chance of being successful if you're not paying the extra $28,000 a year, which, by the way, would have escalated further from there. You got to be real, real careful, people, when you're dealing with these things. Many of them will also go broke because the illustrations tend not to work out like you'd like them to. And it's bad day to day. But when you get into market turmoil like this, then you're going to see these things way more frequently than you ever did before. And if you find yourself thinking about doing something like this, I have a great suggestion. And that would be to pick up the phone and dial 904-685-1505, which will put you in touch with our office, and we can set up a free meeting to talk about it. Just something that's been driving me nuts because they're just relentless these days, and I'm getting them from all over the place. Yeah. One of those little consumer moments. Yeah. Emulate my hero, Clark Howard, once in a while, who's the consumer warrior. He's got a few of them out lately, too, that are very, very useful. Adam, you want to do anything for a couple minutes special, or should I move into a little more upbeat mode?
If you have something upbeat, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Here we go. You might not see this as upbeat, but it makes you think. Here's a headline from October 26, 2021. I printed it out. And I stuck it in my folder to pull out sometime about the middle of this year. And it's about Goldman Sachs. Everybody knows Goldman Sachs, and they're the be-all and end-all of the financial wizardry, right? Well, here's the title. Inflation will plunge in 2022. How are they doing so far? Here's three drivers of cooling inflation. First, improved supply of semiconductors. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Second, a better supply of labor. Oh, wait a minute. Better supply of labor? Who out there is trying to hire somebody right now? I know people who are, and it just doesn't happen. Third, the winding down of U.S. port congestion which should mean a tempering in freight costs and potentially fewer price increases by companies. How are they doing?
Well, I did hear that the port of Long Beach only has 21 ships to unload, and that's down substantially from the peak. So that is headed in the right direction.
I agree. But what happens to them once they're unloaded? And by the way, it's big shipping that's at fault for this stuff. Just ask.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Big shipping. Once they get there, they have to be offloaded by union labor. They have to be packed onto trucks or trains, again, in some of the ports in California, by union labor. And then, what's diesel now, about $6? So they got to be transferred from wherever they are at the port to wherever they're going to be used with $6 a gallon diesel. I think maybe they missed the fundamental problem here. So we'll, more on that later. Got to take one more break and be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. You said? Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we have just all kinds of stuff here. I'm really trying to look for something kind of upbeat, but I did come up with one. The Secure Act 2.0, which you probably have heard us talk about a lot, something that we're really trying to get passed this year. The House has already approved it by 404 to something, and it was sent to the Senate. And there are several Senate committees that have input into this. They deal with various things, mostly centered around just retirement, that sort of thing. Well, those committees are merging their documentation on June 14th, which, as you probably know, is coming up really fast now. And they haven't taken their break for the summer yet. So they're actually going to get to this and try to get a working bill together in the month of June. I don't think it'll be likely to get passed by then, but at least if they've got one that they can put forward to everybody and let them read about it during the break, it might just come up reasonably in the fall when they come back. And Secure 2.0, it's not for everybody. You know, I beat it to death because it affects me directly, but it affects a lot of our clients directly and a lot of other people too. And it's just a really good idea. And strangely enough, when it's taken to the Senate floor for a vote, it'll probably pass by the same overwhelming margin. Getting it there, of course, you're dealing with committees. The old saying that a camel's a racehorse designed by a committee. Well, imagine a retirement bill designed by several committees. It's not cut and dry. But it is good news, and that works for me.
I still think it'll get done. It's a good idea that has a lot of support across the aisle.
Yep. Oh, and part of it, too, is that it's going to enable the annuity industry to get more involved in retirement plans. And they, when they put their money and brains together and start lobbying, they can move a lot of people. So I find myself on their side for the wrong reason or the right reason or for the other reason or whatever the heck it is. But they can be our best friends if they'll just get the sucker passed. That's important. All right, guess who's having economic troubles this particular summer? Probably don't know this one, and I'm going to make you wait because good morning, Marshall.
Good morning, Steve.
How are you?
Some good news for you.
Good. I'll take it.
As you're leaving the station, head down US 1 to Old St. Augustine Road, you'll save 20 cents a gallon on gas.
No kidding.
They're $4.69 down there, so wow. I just finished filling up.
Wow.
Second question, Secure Act. So now we're at age 72 where we have to take the required minimum distribution.
Correct.
Secure Act 2.0, does that impact that? Any?
Yes. Yes, that goes to 73 immediately. In five more years, it goes to 74. And in yet another 5 years, it goes to 75.
Well, Well, you and I are on the same timetable, so yes.
Yeah, we won't get the second and third one, but we do get the first one. So if you're born after June 30th of 1949, this will affect you and how you have to withdraw your money later on. So I'm a really big fan of it, as you know.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Get out of the way, everybody. You'll all be headed down to St. Augustine Road in the interstate. Because what the heck? Saving money's where it's at, I say. All right. Where were we? I don't know. Adam, were you in the middle of something, or was it me? I don't know anymore.
Just tease somebody
Here's the ones that are having trouble. The Hamptons. Rental prices in the Hamptons are down 26% this year, and there are a lot of places still open. Now, when everybody's done laughing,
that doesn't surprise me, actually, no. Because there was such a rush to get out of New York because of COVID last year that I think it was just a one-time spike in prices that are coming back down. I don't think it's a collapse of the market overall, but it could be a lot lower demand this year.
There's one example in here. They're asking $70,000 a month for a waterfront place, and a potential renter just offered $45,000.
Oh, man, they're going to definitely take a back on that.
But then there's another piece of it in there, too. To say all of a sudden now the sales out there are so strong that it's hurting the rental market. So, what can you say? I thought you'd get out of that because I did.
I also read another article that was talking about this up-and-coming beach town on Long Island that they were saying was the New Hampton. So,
oh, really?
Who knows? There's a lot of dynamics up there that I don't understand, nor do I want to.
No, you and me both. All right, how many of you out there get your roadside assistance from your insurance provider, car insurance provider? Again, thanks to Clark Howard, who likes to point these things out that can help average, everyday, ordinary people save some money or some problems. You may or may not have ever heard of what they call a CLUE report, C-L-U-E, CLUE report. The CLUE report stands for Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. I have a different term for it. I call it your permanent record. So with some of these auto insurers that offer the roadside assistance, once they get there, they sort of trick you a little bit because they treat your towing as an at-fault claim. And that at-fault claim hits your CLUE report. And your CLUE report is used by other insurers if you're trying to get a competitive quote. Therefore, you might shoot yourself in the foot by using a quote, included service. So where does Clark say to go for this stuff? Well, there's several. There are some credit cards that offer it. Chase Sapphire Reserve, Capital One Venture, Chase Freedom Unlimited, Platinum Card from Amex. Some of those will have fees and perhaps other costs in them, but you should look. Probably the best known, and the one I've used for, how many years? AAA. And we've been AAA members for, our card has a longevity on it. It's decades and decades and decades. But also, you might look at your cell phone company. A lot of them will have an add-on subscription along with your cell phone, and it would be very reasonable. But the first thing you do, find out in writing if you're signing up for some kind of roadside assistance plan, find out if an incident of towing will hit your CLUE plan, and it might save you a lot of discomfort in the coming future. So, again, thanks, Clark. He is our local hero, he lives around here, and his website is clarkhoward.com. Always a good place to go. He's excellent with things like 529 plans, that sort of thing. We've learned a lot from him. I'd love to think he's learned a lot from us, but I'm not that arrogant, he said. Not even sure I'm right about that. whatever. All right. Who has ever heard of a syndrome called everything is terrible, but I'm fine? And I think everybody knows, probably some people even feel that way. We're very compassionate people, and things are really bad right now for a whole bunch of people. So we tend to say, well, I'm really okay, but I worry about my friends and relatives and neighbors and that sort of thing. And it's a very real thing. And it's not just Americans that are like that. And particularly in South Korea, they say that about the average person will tell you about 25% of South Koreans are happy. And it's actually closer to 75% that are happy. So we tend to either brush off our own problems once in a while, or perhaps we are just so empathetic with other people that we think they're suffering. But if you look at what's going on now with the attitudes about financial security, they're plummeting so fast. I think this syndrome is going to be changing its stripes a little bit. And real people are probably going to be understanding now that the real people are having real problems. I do not see much hope for this. We could cure it overnight. Drill, baby, drill, and all of this would go away. But I don't know how we can get through to these people. They absolutely do not care to listen to us, or they do not care about us, or whatever it is. So remember this come November. Vote well in November. All right, thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. This is the Banway Financial Hour.